Chapter 8.
Oh, fuck.
Nix moaned with a wide smile as we finally flopped down onto the sheets.
That was totally amazing. Thank you, Master.
As I promised, we spent the entire night fucking over and over again. And now that she'd reached her umptieth orgasm, pale light was streaming in through the stained glass window. Of course, but I do think you sucked me dry. I probably don't have one drop of cum left in me.
I was greedy.
The blue-skinned witch grinned before she sprung off the bed.
Do you want a puff of my industrial weed before we head to class?
What does it do? I asked with a raised eyebrow.
It'll work like 3 cups of spiced coffee.
She explained and flashed me a cajoling, mischievous grin.
Only this is much stronger. Come on, have a puff or two.
Sure, I said after a long moment, and my lips spread into a smirk. Oh, why the hell not? The sapphire-skinned Wicca smiled before she handed me a small wooden pipe, and after she placed it into my hands, she turned around to grab one of the candles off the wall. Then, with the candle in hand, she leaned toward me and carefully lit the pipe. Her smile widened as I began to inhale the sweet-smelling drug, and as the smoke built up inside my chest, I thought I could taste a hint of lemon mingled with something that reminded me of pixie cake. When I had my fill, I slowly breathed out the smoke, and a rose-pink haze left my lips and clouded the room. The smell of wilted roses instantly filled the air, and when I handed the pipe back to Nix, I felt a jolt of energy coursing through my body. My sore muscles relaxed, and the stinging behind my tired eyes instantly disappeared. In seconds, I felt wide-eyed, rejuvenated, and ready to seize the fucking day.
Awesome, isn't it?
Nix snickered before she wrapped her blue lips around the pipe and sucked. Whew! It's fucking brilliant. I grinned and flexed my fingers.
Told you. It's the best way to start the day.
As she took another hit, I looked around the blue room and stared at the morning light flooding in through the window. It grew brighter by the second, and pretty soon I knew we'd have to haul ass. While Nix finished her last drag, I swung my legs over the bed and planted my feet on the cold floor. I quickly snatched up my clothing and got dressed, and judging by the sunlight's intensity, we didn't have time for a bath or a fancy breakfast. Come on, I said once Nix set down her pipe. Let's get a move on. The blue-skinned witch nodded and quickly snatched up her uniform, and she didn't bother to put on any undergarments as she slipped on her miniskirt and then buttoned up her blouse. Her deep blue nipples protruded through her white shirt, and her blue breasts were exposed through the thin fabric. But I didn't think she gave a damn. No panties. That's quite dangerous. What about all the cum I pumped into you last night?
I think it's pretty hot to drip your seed all over my chair.
She shrugged and tossed back her long cobalt hair.
It'll be our naughty little secret.
I love it, I said. And I glanced down to see a bit of my pearly seed already making a trail down her inner thighs. Of course, I was looking for it, but I doubted anyone else would be staring at Nix's legs and looking for my jizz. We left the blue drug-filled bedroom and headed toward the small flight of stairs, and when we reached the bottom, all heads turned to us. The coven was already seated around the fireplace, and none of them looked surprised when they saw us. In fact, each witch appeared to be too busy with their breakfasts to ask why I wasn't coming down from my quarters.
Good morning.
Nix hummed with a lazy smile.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I had an incredible night. Oh, we know. In fact, I think the entire castle knows. Oh, was I that loud?
Nix questioned with a raised blue eyebrow.
Yes.
The coven answered in unison.
Oops.
Nix muttered before she shrugged.
My bad.
Don't worry about it. I snickered as I neared the other women. They'd nearly cleaned off their plates, and a part of me was disappointed I'd missed breakfast, but then again it was absolutely worth it. And when I glanced at the smirking and satisfied blue-skinned Nyx, and as she crossed her legs and winked at me, I knew she thought the same thing.
Well, we'd better get a move on.
Morgana sighed before she dusted the crumbs off her blouse.
This morning is our first lesson with Professor Olivia, and I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm thrilled. When aren't you thrilled by the prospect of class?
Akira muttered as she rolled her black eyes.
Psh, whatever.
Morgana huffed before she grabbed her bag from the floor.
I'm excited too,
Penelope remarked with wide chestnut brown eyes.
Part of me still can't believe we're combining potions and charms. Let's just hope Professor Olivia is a decent professor,
Akira said with pinched black eyebrows.
I still can't forgive her for sending Cole out into that pit when we first arrived at the High Court. She wasn't the one who gave the order, Akira,
Morgana reminded her in a sharp tone.
That was Madame Mara Sultan. Regardless, she was willing to let him die, so in my book, she's no better than the rest of them.
As much as I admire your heated devotion, Akira, I said with a small smile, I think it's safe to say it's water under the bridge. I don't hold any ill will toward her, and neither should you. How about we simply let bygones be bygones?
Yes, master.
The black-eyed witch sighed after a short pause.
You're right, as always.
Anyways, I said as I regarded each witch, we'd better get going. We don't want to be late, do we? The others nodded as they stood up and grabbed their belongings, and when we left the common room, the halls were crowded with whispering, wide-eyed witches. Everyone seemed to be as excited as Morgana and Penelope about the new class and professor, and I briefly wondered what today's lesson would have in store for us.
It should be the classroom at the very end of this hall,
Morgana said as we followed the crowd of students.
How do you know?
Nyx asked and blinked at the brunette.
You mean aside from the crowd walking in that direction? There was also a letter on the coffee table this morning before you and Cole woke up, and it explained where the new classroom would be. Oh.
The blue-skinned witch shrugged.
Cool. You're going to be way more excited when you see what we'll be doing. You love herbs, don't you? Yeah.
Nyx drawled and pursed her lips.
So what? So charms and potions require plenty of herbs.
Morgana responded in a patient tone.
Just wait. You'll be a natural. You and Penelope. Thanks, Morgana.
The orange-haired witch said, and her cheeks flushed a pleased, rosy pink.
Of course.
The brunette responded with a supportive smile. When we came to a stop, students swarmed inside the massive classroom. But there was still a crowd at the threshold.
Everyone, take your seats.
Olivia's voice called out.
Hurry up now, no dawdling. We have a lot to cover this morning. Why are people being so fucking slow?
Akira hissed under her breath.
Come on, move it! I bet everyone wants a seat close to Professor Olivia's desk.
Morgana said in an excited voice.
I know I would. Well, I wouldn't hold your breath. I'll bet you three frog's legs and a newt eye that all the seats by the front of the room are taken.
Sure enough, Penelope was right. When the students finally took their seats, there were no empty tables near Olivia's desk. The classroom was glorious, though, and quite expansive. Marble statues were situated in every corner of the room, and a massive gold and silver chandelier dangled from a black, shimmering ceiling. Hundreds, or possibly thousands, of books sat in a grand black bookcase pressed against the purple velvet wall, and elegant paintings of the High Court hung all around the classroom. When I turned to look at the front of the room, I saw Professor Olivia seated at a giant, midnight black desk with a row of owl heads carved into the wood. A large black cauldron sat on the top of her desk, and a plain wooden spoon stuck out of it. The new professor wore a deep green satin gown that clung to her slender but curvaceous frame, and her sleek, shimmering silver hair was loose and hung like a pin-straight curtain around her heart-shaped face. Her nails were painted black, and her pale, slender fingers were adorned with silver and purple rings. As I continued to marvel at her appearance, she must have sensed my gaze, because in moments her teal-tinted eyes darted over to me. And she smiled. For a moment, I was lost in her vibrant eyes and the shimmering gems permanently embedded into her porcelain skin. And as I stared at her unwavering beauty, I felt relieved to see she was fully recovered after her possession.
Over here!
A familiar voice cried out.
Cole!
The sudden sound broke me away from my trance, and when I searched the room, I spotted Circe near the back of the classroom, seated next to the reserved and oddly quiet Beatrix, who was wearing chains of odd-looking necklaces around her creamy neck. A smile broke across my face as I neared the duo, and when we took a seat at their desk, Beatrix began to tug at her long, light brown fringe.
So, are you guys, excited? Yes?
Morgana politely nodded.
So am I.
Beatrix chuckled, but her eyes kept darting to me and away.
I mean, I kind of have a thing for charms. It's a hobby of mine. Not that it's anything to brag about. It's actually kind of weird, I guess. Not at all.
Penelope shook her head.
I love potions. It's my hobby, so I'm super excited as well. Oh, yeah.
Beatrix replied as her face lit up.
I remember. Well, I remember when this class was pulled from the curriculum.
Circe commented as her serpentine eyes wandered around the classroom.
If memory serves correctly, I still remember a few brews and ancient charms. Then it's a good thing we have you at the table.
Akira grinned.
Easy fucking A.
You're basically a full-fledged Wicca, I said as I narrowed my eyes at Circe. Can I ask why you decided to join our classes, since you've probably obtained far more knowledge than us?
Well, my skills are somewhat rusty.
The blonde witch shrugged.
I have been dead for quite some time, you know. You forget a thing or two when you're buried 6 feet under and maggots are crawling through your eye sockets and other intrusive areas. Wait, so you won't be able to help us cheat?
Akira pouted.
Lame. Don't be rude, Akira. Don't be nosy, Morgana.
Akira replied as she mocked the beautiful brunette's voice.
She's not just here to benefit us. She's probably struggling to adjust to this new era. Aren't you, Circe? A bit.
The blonde witch said with a small shrug.
But to be honest, it's not too different. How old are you, though?
Vesta asked with wide silver eyes.
If you don't mind me asking. I believe I'm in my late 20s.
Circe responded as she placed a finger against her lips.
Or perhaps my mid-20s. I cannot be sure. I honestly don't remember. We shouldn't be prying anyway,
Faye said in an apologetic tone.
Guys, let's leave her alone. It's quite all right.
Circe smiled.
I don't mind.
Well, anyway, I said before any of the others could overwhelm her with more questions. I think Professor Olivia is about to say something. Look at her. The table went quiet as we focused on the silver-haired professor. She was on her feet now, with her hands folded in front of her. She observed the classroom with a small smile on her face. But before she could say a word, there was an unusual sound at the door. When I averted my eyes, I spotted a giant black swan hovering in the air by the threshold. Its feathers were dark as night, and its eyes were the same shade of blue-green as Olivia's.
Ah, there you are, Jezebel.
The swan bowed her head before she soared toward the professor's desk and perched on her chair.
Jezebel likes to be my extra pair of eyes,
Professor Olivia explained, even though no one asked.
She has a terrible temper, so be sure to be on your best behavior.
Yes, Professor, the class echoed.
Excellent. Now, everyone, please take out a fresh piece of parchment and a quill. You will be taking extensive notes in my lesson, and I want to see those hands scribbling away as I speak. Understood?
Yes, Professor, the class repeated.
Lovely.
Professor Olivia cooed before she reached over to pet her swan's head.
Now, you can tell me what a radix viridi is.
As predicted, Morgana's hand shot up into the air and wildly waved in case the professor couldn't see her.
Oh, pick me.
The bookish brunette pleaded under her breath.
Please pick me. Sweet baby Satan Morgana, you're the only one with your hand up. Yes, dear?
Professor Olivia smiled when she looked at Morgana.
A radix viridi is a form of rare root. It normally grows in humid conditions, like the Faroe jungle in the South Outlander realm of Conatico. Precisely.
Professor Olivia exclaimed. And for a moment, her eyes narrowed at Morgana, like she suddenly recognized her.
Well done. Not many students your age would know the answer to that. I read a lot.
Morgana said, with a proud smile.
I'm surprised you didn't know the answer, Cersei.
Penelope remarked quietly.
Oh, I did.
The older, golden-haired witch replied with a small smile.
But she seemed so desperate to answer, so I chose not to say anything.
Ha! Akira giggled as a deep blush crept across Morgana's face.
Looks like you're not the only one who's a know-it-all. Shut up!
Morgana muttered before she leaned back in her seat.
Now today we will be brewing a special potion that will give us temporary elder wings.
Professor Olivia explained with wide, teal-colored eyes.
It's a useful brew that can fool even the cleverest of elders.
The class burst into excited whispers until the silver-haired professor raised her hands up into the air.
Now. I know it's so terribly exciting, but before we carry on, you must all write down each ingredient. The order and overall process are highly crucial components of the spell, and if the brew is not prepared correctly, then the consequences can be severe, if not deadly. No surprise there.
Penelope whispered into my ear.
Now, as you can imagine, the first ingredient shall be the Radix Viridi root.
Olivia explained, before she opened one of her desk drawers and pulled out a long, eggplant-shaped green root with thick orange veins and small yellow buds. She then retrieved a pale wooden wand from her desk and aimed it at the root.
You will set the root down and then cut it into four equal parts, like so. Sicare.
The professor proceeded to cut the root into four equal sections, and when she was finished, she glanced up at the class to make sure everyone was taking notes. She then took the four pieces of root and tossed it into her cauldron. I furiously scribbled away, and the rest of the table also had their heads bowed low as we noted the first step. When I finished writing, I noticed the professor was holding a jar of shimmering dark herbs in her pale hands.
Next, you will need a jar of Hibble herbs.
Professor Olivia continued.
You can tell me what Hibble herbs do. Oh, fuck, I know this one.
Nyx gasped with excitement. This time, Morgana smiled and let the blue-skinned witch raise her hand. Nyx stretched her entire long body upward as she tried to get the professor's attention, and she nearly fell out of her seat while doing so.
Oh, yes. You, over there.
The silver-haired witch grinned.
I'm sorry, I could barely see you. It's a growth herb.
Nyx shouted like her life depended on having the correct answer. Akira nearly burst out into laughter, while the rest of us simply smiled. I'd never seen Nyx so eager to answer a question before in her life, but it was quite endearing.
Yes, that is correct. My, you are full of energy, aren't you? Thanks.
Nyx grinned as she brought her hand back down.
I can't believe I knew the answer. I told you.
Morgana whispered with a wide smile.
Now, we shall take the jar of these herbs and sprinkle them into the cauldron, like so.
The beautiful and poised witch gently opened the glass jar by twisting the lid open and placing it on her desk. Then she carefully retrieved a pinch of herbs and began to sprinkle them inside the cauldron. The little specks glittered even from afar, and as I watched them fall into the cauldron, I made sure to take another note.
Once this step has been completed,
she continued, before she snatched her wand and aimed it at the cauldron.
You need to be sure to light the two ingredients on fire and wait 3 minutes for it to simmer. Illuminana.
The cauldron glowed, and instantly the smell of lavender and wilted roses filled the air. We all wrote down the next step, and as I did so, I could feel myself growing light-headed as the smoke clouded the classroom.
I know.
The professor said after a long moment.
The smell can be overwhelming, but I promise it only lasts for a while.
When the 3 minutes passed, the professor opened up another one of her drawers and retrieved a small vial of bright, red, glittering liquid.
Now, this is the final ingredient. Does anyone know what this is? If not, that's perfectly fine. It's quite a rare ingredient. Mediocre sanguinis.
Penelope whispered, but her voice still managed to carry across the room.
I'm sorry?
Professor Olivia said as she looked around in confusion.
Who said that? Louder, Penelope.
Morgana urged in a fierce whisper.
Come on, don't be shy.
the bright-haired witch said, as she raised her hand up into the air.
It's fairy blood, or rather, its formal name is Mediocris sanguinis. Brilliant!
Professor Olivia clapped.
Now can you tell me what this blood does? It gives you the ability to fly.
The orange-haired witch answered, with her chin raised.
At least temporarily. Correct again.
The silver-haired witch smiled.
That table near the back is doing excellent. Keep it up! Satan, she's perky. It's a dead giveaway she's never taught before. Soon the bitterness will creep in and she'll turn into Vanessa. Shh!
Morgana hissed.
Now.
The professor continued with bright eyes.
You shall spill 10 drops into the mixture, like so.
Professor Olivia proceeded to drop exactly 10 shimmering red dewdrops into the black cauldron. And as she did so, puffs of red smoke erupted out from the pot. In seconds, an overwhelming smell of floral spices wafted through the classroom, and a light pink smoke drifted through the air.
Now that the brew is complete, we shall stir the contents until we reach a lovely consistency.
The silver-haired witch explained as she used her wand to move the wooden spoon in circular motions.
Make sure there are no clumps when you mix.
After a minute or two, Professor Olivia took a small step back and pulled open another drawer. And when she found whatever she was looking for, she closed it, and then stared at the class.
You will only want to take a vial's amount worth of this brew,
she said, as she raised a small glass container into the air.
Any more than that, Inver. It can kill you, so don't be greedy with it.
Next, the professor carefully leaned over the cauldron and placed the vial inside, and then she scooped up just enough to fill the glass container to the brim. Without a moment of hesitation, she quickly tossed back her head and drank the bright orange potion before she made a sour face and wildly shook her head.
Satan! Fair warning! This stuff doesn't taste pleasant. Now, the effects should take a minute or two, and the process is fairly painful, but it will pass. Unholy fuck, I didn't expect her to drink it like that. Why not?
Beatrix asked with a raised eyebrow.
Because, as she said, it is an excruciating process. She's making light of it, but any shape-shifting spell causes terrible agony. Ugh, good to know. Oh, we'll be fine.
Circe whispered as her serpentine eyes darted around the table.
If you want to talk about pain, being burned at the stake is no walk through the potion shop.
An awkward silence filled the air as the women glanced unknowingly at one another, until Nyx clicked her tongue and looked down at her hands.
What makes you think we'll be drinking the brew? Yeah.
Beatrix nodded.
Isn't she simply demonstrating for the class? Now what would be the point in that?
Circe responded with a cool smile.
Anyway, you'd all better turn your attention to her. I believe the transformation is about to begin.
Everyone's lips clamped shut as we focused on the silver-haired professor, and in moments her skin began to glow, like a light illuminated inside her. Then her eyes widened with pain as 2 perfect black-feathered wings sprouted out from her back and fluttered behind her. She stifled a cry as the appendages grew larger and wider, and when the process was complete, her teal eyes glistened with tears. However, despite the pain she was clearly under, there was no denying how magnificent she looked. Her massive swan-like wings fluttered like 2 giant ebony fans, and her skin was iridescent and as bright as starlight. She looked like a goddess of pure evil, ready to wreak havoc and deliver retribution upon her enemies.
As you can see, I wasn't exaggerating.
The entire class broke into thunderous applause, and a small blush spread across the professor's face as she gazed upon the students.
All right, quite enough of that,
she said with a dismissive wave of her hand.
Now it's your turn. Are you ready to turn yourselves into the epitome of the Elder Gods?
In a flash, the clapping quickly died down, and everyone turned to look at each other with a tint of fear in their eyes. The Elder Gods were our enemy, and turning ourselves into their image didn't sit well with me. But then again, what choice did we have? We'd have to complete the assignment and be careful in doing so. Otherwise, it might cost us our lives.